Will you pray for me? Lord, may the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. They unpacked the boxes slowly, removing and unwrapping the contents so carefully, and examining them to be sure that nothing had gotten broken and nothing had gotten ruined in the last year. And as they hung each ornament on the tree, they told its story. They talked about the hugely fat God's eye of popsicle sticks and yarn that one had made in first grade. And they talked about the pine cone that had lost most of the glitter that the other one had glued on with a sister so many years ago. And the special one that had been a gift from a beloved aunt. And they talked about the reindeer made out of clothespins and all the rest. And then the two of them strung cranberries and stale popcorn, just as one of the mothers had taught them to do. And they draped them back and forth across the tree. And then they laughed as they remembered that neither one of their fathers had ever once managed to get a Christmas tree into a stand without taking the Lord's name in vain. And they talked of home. Not the home they had created together in their adulthood, which was a very good home indeed, but the separate homes of their childhoods. And the woman, as they talked, could see her living room with her little brother in it. And she could smell the smell of that old house. And she could see her grandfather sitting in the chair where he always sat while they decorated the tree. And she could almost feel her old feety pajamas that she always wore. And as they decorated and as they told their stories, sometimes it was now and sometimes it was 25 years ago. And somehow it was both at the same time, and they were decorating every Christmas tree they had ever decorated. And they were pleased to have it so because it was home. The father and the 5-year-old son stood in the dark front yard and they looked at the lights they had spent all day putting up on the house, and it was, they were sure, the best lighting job on the whole street. And the father put his arm around his boy and said, "I love you, son." And the boy said, "I love you too, Dad." And the father swore to himself again that he would do it differently than his father had. And he would not be gone all the time. And he would tell his boy that he loved him as often as that little boy would let him, and he would never, ever hit his child in anger. And he promised himself that his son would have a home with a father in it that loved him and knew how to show it. And as they stood there, he could see them standing there every Christmas into the future, all the way down, every single Christmas, all the way down to the one when he himself was too old to climb the ladder and put the lights up anymore, and the middle-aged son had to drive over from across town and put them up for him. And he saw them standing there all those years later and saw that middle-aged son say to him, "I love you, Dad." And it was like it was that Christmas in the future and that Christmas right then, and they were glad to have it so, for it was home. She leaned over and took the gingerbread out of the oven and set it on top of the stove to cool. And she turned around and looked at her single occupancy room, and it was tiny and it was dingy, and she hated her life. She hated her aloneness. She hated that she didn't have anyone to give that gingerbread to, and it would probably go bad before she could eat it all. But she had made gingerbread every single year, no matter how bad things had gotten. And whenever she did, she thought of her sweet mother, who taught her to make it just exactly right 70 and more years ago in a kitchen that was warm and bright and full. And she believed, she knew the time was coming when she would fall asleep and wake up in a place that smelled better and tasted sweeter and felt warmer than even her mother's kitchen had. And somehow it was 70 years ago and she was in her mother's kitchen, and it was now and it was just a few years forward, and she was right in God's own heart, and she was pleased to have it so. For the feeling of that home gave her strength for another Christmas she could hardly bear in this one. Arise, O Jerusalem, stand upon the height, look toward the east, and see your children gathered from west and east at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that God has remembered them. For they went out from you on foot, led away by their enemies, but God will bring them back to you, carried in glory as on a royal throne. That's what Baruch said. That's what the prophet said about the return of the exiled Israelites to their home in Jerusalem. And the prophet said it like he could see it happening right in front of him. Some would come from the west and some would come from the east, and their way would be so easy, and they would be dressed for glory, and it would be a homecoming like the world had never seen. Now, you might think that Baruch was making a prediction. You might think that he was looking into the future and describing what he saw. But you see, that's thinking in terms of our time, of we who spend most of our days trapped in the passing of seconds and minutes and years. That's thinking the way humans think. But God is not bounded by anything, not even by time. And so there's our time and there's God's time. They call it Chronos and Kairos. In Chronos, our time, think words like chronological, think words like chronometer. In our time, second follows second inexorably. And you can never go back, only forward, you have no choice. But in Kairos, in God's time, every single moment is one. Every moment is the perfect moment, and somehow everything and every when is now. Yesterday is now, and 100 years from now is now. In our time, in Chronos, the fall of humankind was a zillion years ago, and we're all still waiting for the redemption of the world. In Kairos, in God's time, in God's heart, your redemption and the fulfillment of everything is right this second. And that's what the prophets know. Prophets haven't been given the gift of predicting the future so much as they have been given the gift of entrance into God's time. Prophets step into Kairos and they describe what they see there happening right in God's own heart. We read Baruch in Advent, and if we are stuck in Chronos, in our time, the story goes like this. Baruch described everybody coming home, even the ones who had never had a real home before. And then Jesus Christ was born, and then he died, and then he rose again. And now we are all waiting for the time when everything will be brought home to God. But Christians, especially Christians at worship, are Kairos people. We live in linear time, to be sure, but every once in a while, at worship or in love or by sheer grace, we manage to enter eternity. We manage to enter Kairos, and then the story goes like this. Baruch is telling it, and Jesus Christ is being born, and the whole world is dressed in glory and already living at home in the heart of God right now. The future has already happened, and the past is about to start, and all of it is right now, and we are pleased to have it so, because for the Christian, it is home. In a while, we're going to celebrate communion. In chronological terms, the story goes like this. 2,000 years ago, Jesus had a final meal with his disciples, and he told them to have that meal often, and they did. Over and over and over again, right down to today, when we will celebrate a ritual meal to remember what happened way back then. And eventually, sometime in the future, all the world will sit down at a great celestial banquet, and we will all remember this meal, which we celebrated to remember him. But when we celebrate this meal, we don't do it simply in chronological terms. When we approach this table, we enter in to Kairos, if all is going as it should. And in God's time, the story goes like this. When we celebrate this meal, it is the same meal that Jesus celebrated. It's not just like it. It's not that the same meal has been going on for a long time. It is the very same meal in the very same moment. In God's heart, when Jesus feeds his disciples in an upper room in Jerusalem, Old South Church in Boston is right there. In God's heart, when we eat this meal, Peter and Thomas and Judas are right here eating with us. Not their spirits, they themselves are with us. In Kairos, all the whole world has already been gathered right here and is shining at this little table. For this is the great gathering and the heavenly feast in God's heart. And this is home. Prophets can do what they do because they have been given the gift of stepping out of time into a place where the things they describe have already happened. But here's the thing. We are, all of us, prophets. Living in Kronos, yes, but hoping in Kairos. In Jesus Christ, we, all of us, have access to that heart of God where it has already happened. And in the days leading up to Christmas, perhaps more than any other time of year, don't you already know that we seem to somehow be able to open ourselves up to the mysteries of God's time more easily, more fully than any other time of year? In Advent, we wait for Christ, but we know he's already here. We wait for the saving of the world, but we know the victory's already won. We huddle in the darkness, but the light has already burned it all away. And the couple decorates their tree and finds themselves in God's time, decorating every tree and every good home they've lived in. And the man stands with his son by their decked house and finds himself in God's time, making a home for his son in all the future years of his best intentions. And the woman stands alone, and the smell of gingerbread fills a dingy place, and she finds herself in God's time, living in the home of her ancient childhood and in the home God has prepared for her in God's own heart. An Old South Church is gathered around the table from east and from west, dressed in glory, and finds that it is sitting at the table with Jesus himself, and with the saints and with the angels, and that in God's heart we have already been brought home. We who have had good homes and lost them, we who have good homes now, we who have never had a good home, we have all already been gathered in. And we find that it had all happened an eternity before we were born, right before the watcher's very eyes. So may it be. Amen.